All right, welcome back. Everybody got your candle? If you don't, Edie has one. Or you can use your phone, it has a light too. We were going to do that, but Edie came up with these, so we'll go with this. I do want to tell Laura happy birthday. A Tweety Bird came and told me that was your birthday. So hope you have a good one. And let's see, why don't we just go ahead and open with a word of prayer and then we'll jump back into it. Let's pray. Dear Father, thank you so much for this session that we have, another one to enjoy your word, to learn about who you are, and just to worship you in a way that is concentrated and meaningful in our own lives. We thank you for this, and we ask all this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. So here we are. We've made our way from Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14, and we to Matthew 1:18, which is pointing us to our direct reference about Emmanuel. It's a long time, right? Over 700 years, Matthew took that quote. And it's interesting to me that there's so much, you know, so many people that try to say this is somebody else, but it's so clear, and God made it that way because He knew that we would be learning about His character. And what this tells us is that not only did He have a plan all the time, at all times, but He planned it very, very, very detailed and very well, and everything flows together just perfectly. So we left off with, and let me just read from verse 21. It says, and remember, this is the angel of the Lord that came to Joseph because he was, I guess you could say, concerned or worried about his wife cheating on him, Mary. And the angel of the Lord came to him. And verse 21 says, she will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. And before we left, I had mentioned that that is the gift, capital T, that we're all here for and we all celebrate. And I would admit on a daily basis, this is why we're here, right? So, you know, we live in a world that has lost sight of the gift, and I mean Jesus Christ. Now we see gifts, but we see the physical gifts, and what this is referring to is the spiritual gift that God brought us. It's a spiritual gift of eternal life, and that's the way I look at the gift that keeps giving. It's eternal. It's an eternal gift that God provided our salvation. And that's why I like the verse 21 that says, for he will save his people from their sins. And that's really what this is all about, salvation. He's actually the only source of joy that we have in this world. And as I was reading this, I thought, well, you know, we sang joy to the world. And when you look at Matthew 2:9, I want you to see this. If I have that verse up here, it says, after hearing the king, remember this is the wise men. After hearing the king, they went away, and the star, which they had seen in the east, went on before them until it came and stood over the place where the child was. And then verse 10 says, when they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. I mean, this is what the gift is connected to, joy. There's no doubt about it that the gift that God brought us in Jesus Christ is connected to joy. And you can see that from their reaction. Joy isn't mentioned once, but it's mentioned twice here. There's the word rejoiced. That is the verbal form of joy. And then there's joy. And I like how they have exceedingly and great in here. It doesn't just say they rejoice with joy. It says they rejoice exceedingly with great joy. In other words, they knew what they saw, and they knew what it meant, and they knew what he was doing and what he was bringing through that child. They knew what God's plan was, and it was a savior. And so that's what the prophecy was. And there was many, many people that did believe in Jesus and knew that the prophecies were being fulfilled. And many didn't as well, or rejected them, but so many did. So, and that's the great part, I think, about all this in this gift, is that it brings joy, and it's the only thing that gives us joy, but at the same time, God has given you the gift, and He expects you to give that gift to other people. You know, it's not a gift that needs to stay under the tree. It's a gift that needs to be passed on to other people. And we'll see a word in a minute that describes this gift. It's in Romans 6:23. I wanted to read this verse to you. It says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." And I was looking at this word "free" in this verse, and it goes with the word "gift," and that's what the gift is that we're referring to today. And the fact that it's absolutely free is not only amazing, but it's based and rooted in the meaning of this word, which actually has the word "grace" in it. The word is charisma, and charis is the word for grace. So free, and that's why it's the only gift that keeps on giving, because you can pass it on to other people, and they can open and enjoy this gift that is not only eternal, but think about what it does for their life. It allows them to have a relationship like you have with Jesus Christ, a personal relationship that allows you to have the joy that these wise men saw when they saw the sign of the star. Amazing. So this is a good word, and it's not by accident that it's here. I think it's a good translation. And that's the reason it's unique, because it includes God's grace. So don't ever take the freeness out of the gift. Don't ever take it out of the gift. That's the reason for the season, and I think that's what the good news is all about, is that it's free. You know, there's always a price to be paid, and part of what this gift that God has given us, that He has done from His end, and He has made it free to us. There was a sacrifice, there was a price. But the price has been paid on the cross in full, which is why He can include grace into this word. Why He can say, you know, this is something that I wanted to do freely because I love you, because I understood that you were trapped in sin and there was nothing that you could do to escape that. And to go a step further is what grace does. And we continually see that over and over and over in our lives, that God crosses the line and He steps over and He reaches and He helps us, just like He did with Ahaz. He tried to help him. He tried to show him. He said, you know what? I can see that he doesn't believe, so I'm going to show him a sign. I want to jump start his faith. Just the same thing He did with Joseph. Joseph almost threw his wife out. What did he do? He came to him. He said, no, wait a minute. You don't want to mess the plan up. I have to show you and gracefully show you that this is not what you think it is, and that this is for me. It's a gift. It's a gift that's coming through your wife. And it's by the Holy Spirit. It's not by another human man. So all this is, I think, amazing that God has shown us these things. And don't be mistaken that just because the word "free" is attached here, the price paid for this is exceedingly beyond anything that we can ever imagine. So, and I'd say the debt was called sin. And there's nothing that we could do to pay that debt off. And that's really the key to the basis, the root of the good news. The debt is too burdensome. It's too large. It's too much of a price. But God knew that. He saw that. He said, okay, I understand that there's absolutely nothing they can do, because my perfect righteousness and justice will not allow anything less than perfection to pay the price for that sin. And He is perfect. He is perfect. But He did it of His own accord. And that's why I don't want you to get confused by the freeness. Because when we get confused by the freeness of the gift, now all of a sudden we're into the legalistic side of things. And we talked about that. So that's why this word means that which is freely given. That's what the Greek word means. That which is freely given. It's freely given. It's grace. So, and then here's Matthew, I didn't give you this verse. I wanted to give you this verse. It's Romans 5:15. It talks about the gift. It says, but the free gift is not like the transgression or the sin. For if by the transgression of the one, the many died, that's through Adam, much more did the grace of God and the gift by the grace of one man, Jesus Christ, abound to many. So you can see that it's not only just a gift that is dedicated to one purpose or one person. It is to everybody. And it's something that you can give is what I love about it. So finally, making our way is what I, you know how I like to go full swing all the way around and bring you back around. We were trying to find our reference in Isaiah 7:14 and see where it is in the New Testament. And here it is in Matthew 1:22. Now all this took place to fulfill what was spoken by the Lord through the prophet. Well, we know that prophet was Isaiah over 700 years ago. Behold, the virgin shall be with child and shall bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. So, you know, it's an amazing thing to think that God has never separated himself from us, as I mentioned before, ever. And if it's, thank God it's up to him, because we're constantly in states of forgetfulness, separation, unfaithfulness, in the flesh. Yet God has never left us and will never forsake us according to his word. And that's really what this is all about. Christmas is about grace. It's about the gift that is free and that's been given to us. And it's also about Jesus Christ dedicating his life to you. And I don't just mean in the sacrifice. I mean dedicating his life to us personally. You know, I understand we're all called to dedicate our life to Jesus Christ, but it's actually just the opposite. He's the one who has dedicated his life to you and me. And it started before we even showed up to this earth, you know? And we can very clearly see that through the cross. But what a dedication. What a sacrifice to stick with us through the craziness that sometimes we come up with. I'd say that's dedication, right? And that's grace. God doesn't have to, you know, keep us on board just because do we deserve it? No. We're sinful. We're sinners. So, and God understands that. You know, he understands that we're sinners, and he understands the pull of the sin nature. He understands how powerful the sin nature is, and he understands that we're in a battle. And we all know people that need this gift, because this is the only gift that can allow you to win the battle over the sin nature. This is it. This is it. And that's why I like that verse 22 said, it's here to save his people from their sins. What a burden that is released just to accept this free gift of salvation. This is really what the message is all about. The graciousness of God to come to us and die on a cross, so that we wouldn't have to pay the penalty. We couldn't pay the penalty. So, he understands these things. And you have to wonder, how can people not accept the gift that the word is describing? Remember, we're here to pass on the gift. We're here to talk about the gift. We're here to present the gift. We're here to be ambassadors around the freeness of God's gift to us in Jesus Christ. And, you know, I often ask myself, how can people reject that? Because as they're rejecting it, God, the Lord Jesus Christ, is with them, working them, trying to get them closer to him, no matter who they are, no matter where they are in their life. He's always close by. And I'm talking about unbelievers and believers. Just because it's a different type of close doesn't mean that he's not drawing them to him. That's how much he loves his people, God with us. He wants to be with every single person. But when we reject that close personal relationship, All he can do is honor the volition of the individual that has chosen to reject. Galatians 3:26 says, "For you are all sons of God through faith." Faith in Jesus Christ. John 3:18, "Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only Son of God." And that's Jesus Christ. That's who that's referring to. So, you know, God is with us now in spirit. And he'll, of course, always be with us. And what I love about God's plan is he's always got something to look forward to. Every single time, he always has something positive to look forward to. Every time. Whether it be the unbeliever or the believer, there's always something positive to look forward to. And it's no different with you. Just because he's here with you spiritually, guess what? You will be with him physically, face to face. That's the awesomeness of God being with us. It's not just spiritually now inside of you. It's face to face spiritually. So, and I wanted to mention this because, you know, God always gives us hope in no matter what situation we're in. And I wanted to read 1 Thessalonians 4:16, which says this, "For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive will remain, will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words." Did you hear that? We shall always be with the Lord. Always. That's eternal. That's for the rest of eternity. I understand we can't fathom that as limited human beings, but God has promised us that. And you know what? Even though we don't know when this is going to occur, just as Ahaz didn't understand, you know, the promise that God was telling him when it would occur, does it really matter? Does it really matter? God has a plan, and he's showing us the plan is still future, and it continues no matter what. And guess what? Nothing can stop that plan at all. Nothing can stop it. And think about all the ups and downs that we have in our life, and we all of a sudden, in our mind, the plan is coming to a halt. The train is just stopping in our mind. Nothing's stopping at all. It's actually moving very quickly. So you have to be on your toes to be able to grasp what God is doing in your life. So, and that's where I want to leave you with this hope that we all have, not only in the freeness of God's gift through Jesus Christ, but also the future hope that we all have in Jesus Christ coming back to be with us forever. So with that being said, I will give you a Merry Christmas and relinquish the reins to Dave.
Thank you very much. Pastor Scott's asked me to close in prayer, so let's pray, please. Father, again, we are so very grateful for this awesome message that we have been and heard from your word. We thank you for the Holy Spirit's enlightening us, opening our eyes of understanding. We thank you for Pastor Scott and his insight, because of your Holy Spirit leading and guiding him. And we thank you so very much for this free gift that cost your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, everything. So may we never cease to say thank you. And we do praise and thank you and adore you, glorify you, lift you up. In Jesus' name, we are grateful. Thank you. Amen.
Amen.
And Merry